Weekday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Do you know, I woke up this morning to the news that we'd lost Kris Kristofferson. Of course, to new generations, it wouldn't mean so much, but the older generation, my God. My God, he was on everybody's lips. The songs, not only the songs that he sang and we loved, the songs that he wrote that become standards for other singers. And I was just thinking of Johnny Cash this morning and his versions of Kristofferson's songs. And Janis Joplin. I mean, it was anything but a country song that Janis Joplin did. And once again, just magnificent, the work in creating music, not just singing it, of Kris Kristofferson. I'll just read briefly. It says, United States singer-songwriter Kris Kristofferson, a country music legend who notably hit the silver screen opposite Barbara Streisand in A Star Is Born. He's died at the age of 88. He was a Country Music Hall of Fame honoree and Grammy winner, known for writing the hits Sunday Morning Coming Down and Me and Bobby McGee. Isn't it funny you think of Janis Joplin? And that was originally a country song. Far from it when Janis Joplin sang it. Kristofferson performed solo for decades, but also formed the supergroup The Highwaymen in the mid-80s with country greats Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. See, they're all legendary names. And Kris Kristofferson, the brains behind so many of these songs. Anyway, in film, the Golden Globe winner was known for his appearances as Whistler alongside Wesley Snipes in the vampire trilogy Blade. I'll cut to the chase here. He went to Oxford, would you believe this, as a Rhodes Scholar. This is the same Kris Kristofferson, all these things that, well, I didn't know till after he died. He joined the army, but pursued his interest in music and songwriting. Lucky bloody dear, they were magnificent songs and still are. Now, he toured often until the pandemic, but suffered memory loss and announced in early 2021 he'd retired from the music industry. There you go. The other thing I learned this morning, he formed a relationship when he was touring Australia with none other than Graham Connors, who up here in North Queensland particularly, is legendary for his numerous tours up here and particularly for a song that still comes to mind immediately, Let the Cane Fields Burn. And at the Pacific Centre here, or CPAC, he start with Let the Cane Fields Burn and the whole hall, the whole building will start singing along Let the Cane Fields Burn with Graham Connors, the singer and musician. He's with me on the line now. Graham, good morning.
Good morning, John. Always good to hear your voice.
Good to catch up. I was just thinking this morning, I saw your photo on my wall at the opening of the Lagoon 22 years ago.
Yes.
What a memorable day that was. And you were there central to it all.
That Peter Beattie, I think, was there with us as well.
Yes, exactly.
And the mayor of Cairns.
Yeah, the late mayor, Kevin Byrne, exactly. No,
that's
it was a memorable day.
Kevin.
And it's funny, the people still talk about what an asset to the town this is, that lagoon. It's still
beautiful.
People in discussions last night saying it's still the biggest attraction in our CBD. Graham, obviously, sad news for you this morning. Talk to me about how you got together with Kris Kristofferson.
Look, I was just really, really lucky that at 18 years of age, I was chosen as his supporting artist or opening act on his tour in Australia. Look, it was a rather circuitous route to get there, but I should step back a little further and just my relationship to Kristofferson's work. I was 14 when I bought that album, Kristofferson with the Brown Cover, that had all those immortal tunes like For the Good Time,
yes.
Help Me Make It Through the Night,
yes.
Me and Bobby McGee. It was just one after another.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so you could imagine 4 years on at 18, I just left Mackay and I am touring with a man who, from my perspective, prior to hearing his songs, songs happened outside there somewhere, but when I heard him, they happened inside. They were Sunday Morning Coming Down. I was right there. And I guess that was the initial inspiration for me to become a songwriter, because I wanted to work out how do people combine melodies and words with such power. So that started me on my career. And this tour, would you believe, generous soul that he was, at the end of the tour,
yes,
he took me into the studio and produced four tracks for my first, my debut album.
Yo.
I mean, what
joking.
What a generous thing to do, but that's the sort of man he was.
And wow.
He put me on to people like John Prine and Mickey Newberry, which in turn led to Jerry Jeff Walker and Jimmy Buffett. He was sort of like just... He loved songs, obviously. He was like of a mature age at that point. He was 20 years older than I was. So if I was 18, he would have been 38.
Mm.
He just loved sharing songs. He just had this... and I think he'd had a bit of a tough path to get there. It was nearly 4 years after he quit the army. He was going to teach English literature at West Point.
Mm.
And he quit the army and worked as a janitor in the Columbia Studios in Nashville, where he met all the great artists from Johnny Cash right through. And I don't know if you know this story. It's apocryphal. It's just an amazing story. He was a helicopter pilot in the army. You knew that in Germany. He apparently flew a helicopter to Johnny Cash's property out on the lake and landed it and popped out with a cassette in his hand of Sunday Morning Coming Down. And John was so impressed with the song.
Wow.
And obviously what a ballsy way to to pitch a song.
This is a remarkable story. I had not heard this before, and of course Johnny Cash's version's coming back into my mind instantly. It's so easily accessible, isn't it?
It certainly is. Those words. The thing about Christofferson that I really, to this day, admire and can always learn from, he uses the simplest of words to express the greatest emotions.
Mm.
And, you know, once you hear a song, take the ribbon from your hair, shake it loose and let it fall, land soft upon my skin like a shadow on the wall. I mean, what a seductive lyric is that.
Exactly.
Immediately you're in that netherland of romance and passion, and I mean, and then busted flat in Baton Rouge,
yes,
heading for the train. Yeah.
And at one stage he was a bloody janitor.
He was a janitor for nearly 4 years, would you believe? He said, cleaning ashtrays in the thing, and he got to meet Roger Miller and all those great artists. But when that song, Sunday Morning Coming Down, turned him from a janitor into Songwriter of the Year in one fell swoop. And that led then to Fred Foster producing that record. And that would have to be probably one of the greatest debut records, along with, I would suggest, Tapestry by Carole King.
Oh, yeah.
For the number of hit songs that have been recorded by others, but the general, just the quality of an initial release, every song was a beauty.
Isn't it bizarre, when people become household names, one of the first things that go missing is the generosity and the sincerity. This was household name in Lights, and he comes to you and says, oh, after you've done that, can I give you a hand with four tracks in the studio? That's blown me away, Graham Connors.
No, well, that's the indication. You know, when I was on tour with him, he insisted that as I was the opening act, I travelled in the limousine with him and Rita Coolidge and their baby daughter, because that's the way he did things. It was like you were a part of the show. And then at the end of the night, he invited me up to sing Rock and Roll Time with the whole band. Now, this band had people like Billy Swan, Donny Fritz, Jerry McGee. These are all great musicians, and they're the people that he marshalled to record the four songs for me on the album.
Wow.
I mean, I can't tell you, when we came to selecting the songs, I said to him, there's a song of yours I just love called I'd Rather Be Sorry. And he said, man, where did you hear that?
Yes.
I said, well, I had it in the Albert's Sheet Music folio, and I've been singing it with our band. And he said, Ray Price did a version of that, but I've never done it myself.
Yes.
So we did that song and Rita singing harmonies. I mean, I'm believe me, I'm a squeaky little 18-year-old kid doing this song that just amazing.
Yes. This is a wonderful story. Wonderful, wonderful story. By the way, now we're having a bit of a chat too about those wonderful years. And I was just reliving Let the Canefields Burn in the Civic Centre here, and the whole hall breaking into the song. Everyone knew the lyrics.
Well, they knew the lyrics because a certain John McKenzie was playing it on the radio. And those were the great days when, you know, you would hear Deep Purple beside Let the Canefields Burn. Mm. Then you'd hear John Denver's Annie song. And
yes.
It wasn't sort of like it was all at the behest of the announcer. He would just say, I'll play what I want to play, you know. I'm so happy that I'm coming up to Cairns in a fortnight's time.
Oh, really?
I'm going to be performing at the Savannah in the Round concert on Sunday evening the 13th.
Yes.
So anyone that's in your listening area, we will be there with the big band. It's a wonderful festival. And I think Let the Canefields Burn will probably get a run.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Gee, it's a wonderful thing. The Road Less Travelled was another one. The Great Australian Dream, again, you can go on and on. By the way, I only found out recently you did Cowboys Are My Team, and I always forget the bloody lyrics, and there can't be too many of them. I'm a huge Cowboys fan.
The Cowboys are my team, and it's my dream to see them at the
top. That's it. But everyone sings it over and over and over again, but that's all right. But as long as they sing it with enthusiasm.
That's exactly, as long as the passion and belief is there. When they won in, I think it was 2014, it felt to me like I'd been waiting and waiting for that moment, you know, and I'm so glad that the song has still been retained by the Cowboys. You can hear it on their answering service, and when they're down in the game, they'll play it. And, I mean, bear in mind, I think I wrote it in about 1998, so it's really sustained, and I just have a great love of the Cowboys because they're our team.
Exactly. Now, when you come up, which is a couple of weeks away or whatever you said, can you just give me a tingle before you're coming up, and we'll just remind everybody that you're going along, Savannah and the Rania, and that you're going to be singing that particular song, and everyone will be encouraged to sing along because you know what? Everyone's going to know the words.
Well, there you go. I'll get them all prepared. I'll give you a call, John. I do appreciate that.
Good on you, Graham, and thank you. That's Graham Connors, the renowned singer and musician, particularly up here.